balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM.
Business capital. This is the Born to Lead program coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. My name is Kizito and I'm your host for today. If you just tuned in, you are listening to the Born to Lead show coming to you live on Planet FM. And for those who just join us on Facebook, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And it's going to be a blast. We have a very special topic for you for this week. So stay tuned and don't go away.
Oh,
So if you just join us, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. And today we have a very special topic to talk about. Home by the famous Osibisa band. So if you just join us, I just want to thank you once again, and then welcome once again to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from Planet FM 104.5. You are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from Planet FM 104.7. It is a beautiful day indeed. Yeah, so thank you all once again for joining us live and on Planet FM 104.6. And yes, as I said, so it's a beautiful day. And we thank you all for joining us. This is the Born to Lead Show. And we bless you. And we hope and we believe that you will be able to join us on this special, very special topic that we have for today. So today, I want to talk about something very special when it comes to leadership. There's one question I have read and heard a lot about when it comes to leadership. And many a times people ask me, so how do I stop the leadership chain on my team and have people who, because I have people who come and go, you know, and I'm sick and tired. So how can I find and keep good people? Because if you want to have a team as a leader to work with, it doesn't matter whatever you are doing. You need to have a good team to carry the vision and the mission of the organization. So people ask me, why do I make sure that, you know, I keep people retention, you know, I keep people within the team to make sure that we are able to achieve the goals or the mission of the organization. So whenever I hear that question, I always say that the answer is very simple. And many leaders are not even aware of that. That for you to be able to keep people within your team and to stop the tap or just block the tap of people just coming and going, which obviously does not help productivity. The best way to go about it is what? To close the leadership gap. What do I mean by closing the leadership gap when it comes to leadership? Now, I don't want to sound like the question isn't a big deal, because truly it is. You know, when it comes to closing the leadership gap, it is very important. You see, high turnover is one of the biggest obstacles to sustain success, or the success of a business or a company depends highly on the retention of its what member or the people that are driving the vision. So if you have people who come and go all the time, you don't see that as a success.
So every leader knows that having the right team is essential for achieving great things. So in other words, if you don't have the right people around you, or if you keep getting people coming and going all the time, then it doesn't help productivity. It does not help the team to achieve its ultimate goal. So it is very important for you to have a team that will stay. So closing the leadership gap is the key to ensure your sustained success. And if you have a team, you need to have people to help lead. You need to get people in the right positions to help lead the team. And leading the team, we are talking about qualified people. We are talking about talented people. We are talking about people who know how to work well with others and carry the torch for the organization's company, or the company's or the organization's vision and culture. So it is very important for you to have the right people at the right places. That is why we spend so much time trying to get things just right when we are looking for people. You know, every recruitment company will tell you that, look, this is what we are looking for. So they will do everything to make sure that they get the right match for the particular, you know, position. So getting the right people for the right job is very, very important. You see, we all know that this is important, and yet every level of an organization, right down from the top of the executive level to the floor or the support staff, knows the pain of turnover. You know, when you have people coming and going, everyone says it's painful. You know, you spend about 3 to 4 months to train someone, and then on the 7th month, he's gone. You spend some time, weeks, to train someone in a particular role, and then within some few weeks or months, you know, that person is gone. I mean, what could be more painful than that? Wasting, in quote, resources on these people, you know, and it turns out that, you know, they show no interest anymore in the organization. So the thing is, how do you make sure that you close these gaps to make your business, to make your organization more sustainable, you know, and very successful? Despite our best efforts, you know, companies, you know, cycle through the leaders on a regular basis. So there's something that goes on all the time. You know, bringing in and trying out new ones, you know, only to watch them leave. You know, trying to recruit people, getting them, you know, to make sure that they get it, you know, only to what? To let them leave. So, as I said, it is very frustrating. You know, so how do I close the leadership gap? I'm not talking about gender. I'm not talking about closing the gender gap when it comes to, you know, leadership. I'm talking about closing the gap in the sense of making sure that the people who you appoint to lead certain sectors of your organization, of your group, are retained, you know, and there's not always a gap in terms of getting people all the time or recruiting new people, you know, to fill in. And that obviously does not help productivity. It doesn't help sustainability, you know, when it comes to, you know, success of the organization. So what we are talking about today is that how do I close the leadership gap when it comes to my business, when it comes to the organization, when it comes to the culture of the company. So how does this work? You know, how do you make sure the organization creates a culture that identifies and reproduces leaders? In other words, how does an organization close the leadership gap? So you have to make sure that retention is crucial when it comes to, you know, sustainability, when it comes to or the success of a business. And that is what we are talking about today. So number one, we have what you call, you need to co-design your leadership program. How effective and efficient is your leadership program? You know, so you have to be able to design your leadership program around the specific skills you need to close the gap. So don't make anything generic that it applies to all. No, you have to design the program in such a way that, you know, it is specifically for certain skills, you know, in the essence of trying to close, you know, the gap. This may seem like common sense, but unfortunately, it is not currently a common feature of traditional leadership programs. Most are by the books. You know, they play by the books. You know, this is what we've been doing, you know, all the time. This is our tradition. This is what we've been doing most of the time. So, I mean, we can't change because that's what we are used to. And most of them are also based on the analysis of what the average business leader needs. As I said, the traditional leadership programs, most of them are generic. They are standard and sold on tried and tested tickets most of the time. So the question is, how do you make sure that you design a program that is specific for certain skills to allow people, you know, to be retained or to love to stay in the company and help, you know, drive the vision or the mission of the organization? The logic offered in most of these situations, when I'm talking about the traditional leadership program, is that it's offered, it worked for company X. That's most of the things that we say. So if it worked for company X, who are truly impressive and they are doing very well, surely it will work for you. And that is what we get most of the time. But it won't. General leadership development is usually not completely, you know, useful for meeting your specific needs. So if you want to solve a specific problem or you have people with certain specific skills, the leadership program that you design has to meet those specific skills, you know, for those specific things that you are talking about. So you need the precise leadership skills that will close the gap between your current performance and your future vision. I take it again. You need the precise leadership skills that will close the gap between your current leadership performance and your future vision. It's as simple as that. So there's nothing like it has worked for company X, so it will work for me, or relying on general leadership programs just to make it work. It does not always work like that. So that is one thing that you can do to help, you know, bring the best out of your people, to get people to or reproduce leaders in your organization or in your company most of the time. Number two, you need to focus on the development around the delivery of real work. What do I mean by that? See, most reliable and robust way to ensure that you end up with the leadership skills that work in practice is your organization, that in practice is that your organization needs to develop the skills required, you know, during the business as usual. So as you do work as usual, you need to be able to find a way, you know, that will help, you know, to develop the leadership skills, you know, that is needed for that specific, you know, target or that specific work. So far more useful is to develop the skills around the delivery of your current priorities. So it's business as usual, but as you do the work, you have to find a way to come up with the with development of the program around that skills due to, as you deliver, you know, your priorities. So that is what I'm talking about. You know, not only do you get the facilitation of your key projects done, but you also have leaders focused on the exact skills that are needed for success. So it is not just going to be business as usual, but as they do the work, and because of what the measures that have been put in place, you've got people or you've got leaders or you've got people in positions that are able to focus on the exact skills that are needed for success. So they are not just there to facilitate the key projects. They are also there, you know, to ensure that, you know, they target the exact skills that are needed for, you know, achieving the success, you know, of that particular project of the organization. And in addition, or the additional benefit is that it minimizes the time spent on just development. So you are not just there developing a leadership program. It's like you develop it as you go. So you are able to what? Minimize the time just spent on what? On development. Because they are learning whilst performing the day job. So it's what? Learn as you go. And that helps, you know, the organization, you know, to be very effective. It helps the organization to be very efficient and especially be able to achieve specific targets with specific skills, you know, as you go. So if they are focused, I mean, when your leaders are focused on your strategic priorities, it is likely that you will get yet another advantage. As this will require your leaders to learn how to work together to make progress. So, in other words, you've got that teamwork spirit as well when it comes to that particular strategy. So, strategic leadership requires or usually requires effective collaboration. To be effective, you need to collaborate with other people. You need to collaborate with other leaders. You need to collaborate with other stakeholders. And for this to be able to happen, you need to be able to have an open eye and make sure that you are able to, you know, interact with other people that you feel are necessary to be involved in that particular project. So that is number two. Number three, you need to plan what I call continuous improvement. Like the Japanese are very good at that with their Kaizen law. You know, it's continuous improvement methodology, Kaizen. You know, it's like, and that is how, if you look at the Japanese especially, you know, when it comes to productivity, they are very effective and efficient because you need to be able to improve on what you are doing all the time. So having a system in place to ensure that you are continually and continuously improving your plan is very, very important. Each time you run an element of your leadership program, you are going to learn something about how to refine what works well and about the precise skills needed to make things work. So it is very important, you know, for you to be able to improve upon whatever you are doing continuously, because that, I believe, is part of the reality of the vision. So co-design your program on the assumption that it will keep on evolving as the picture of what is required sharpens from slightly blurry to a high definition. I take it again. So co-designing your program on the assumption that it will keep what evolving, you keep working on it as the picture of what is required sharpens. So which means you might be making mistakes as you go, but you keep on doing it, you keep on improving, you keep on putting in some measures in place, you keep on doing certain things, you know, if this doesn't work, you try it this way. If you put it in X direction, it doesn't work, put it in the Y direction, put it in Z direction. You know, so as you go, you know, you keep on improving. And then, so from something that is very blurry to a very high or sharp definition, that is what it means when it comes to continuous improvement. So one of the key elements of the new disruptive technology in leadership development is the shift from telling leaders what they should learn to expecting them to identify for themselves the key areas of development required for delivery of their individual and corporate objectives. So in other words, you are not just telling them that this is what you need to do, this is A, B, and C, but you are able to expose them to the areas of development that is required for the delivery of their individual. Because remember I said some time ago that we all have plans. If I work for company A, you know, I have my own personal goals and objectives, you know, but my own personal goals and objectives should marry with that of the company or the organization. So in other words, you try to discourage individualism. People need to work with teams. So you don't only have your personal objectives or goals in mind, but you have that of the corporate or that of the organization as well. And that is what it means to have people or leaders, you know, who can all take that into consideration, you know, and be able to carry the culture and the objectives or the vision of the organization. So the process raises the bar of leadership development. And number four, you stay with it until the required skills become mastered. You stay with it until the required skills become mastered. In other words, you do it over and over and over again until you master it. It is part of leadership. When you're talking about development program, this is one of the things that you need to be able to work on, staying with something and making sure that you master it. So which means you stay there and you work on it. You work on it from time to time. You work on until you get it right. Okay, so you need to be able to let people know why we need to work on this, why we need to move from this particular level to that particular level. You know, we've all been there. You send people on an expensive development program and the initial feedback is positive. You know, they go for about 3 months or so, you know, I mean, continuous programs or maybe for about a week. And then you realize that, you know, the feedback is good. You know, they will tell you, oh, you know, this program that we went, you know, it really helps. It's going to help us improve upon our productivity. It's going to help us, you know, improve upon the systems that we have in place. It's going to help us, you know, to move from this level to that level as a company or as an organization. But 3 months down the track, there's a scant evidence of any permanent change of behavior, let alone improved performance. You know, so which means initially, you know, everyone is excited because they've been able to learn something new. They've been able to learn something different, you know, and you realize that after some few months, you know, it just dies, you know, it's gone. So, and that doesn't help when it comes to performance improvement. So our new understanding of how the brain changes as we evolve new neural pathways tell us that there has to be a significant focus on following through learning for 3 to 4 months after the formal part of the program is over. So it means that you don't just learn it and then, you know, you just forget about it. So you have to be able to continuously, you know, energize that particular program, continuously, you know, resurrect, you know, things that you learn from that particular development program and make sure that people are able to keep in touch. They are able to implement or continuously, you know, utilize what they've learned. Because if you don't do that after 3 months, you know, it is gone. And that doesn't help improving, you know, performance or productivity of an organization. So as your leaders master new habits, there emerges a sense of cohesion across the organization. So you evolve an identifiable company style. So it means you begin to have different ways of doing things. And that helps. You know, it's your growing reputation for delivery that become your hallmark. So your reputation of delivering the specific things that you've learned is what becomes the indelible mark on you as a leader or as an organization. So when you say you are going to do something, your word must be your bond. So if you promise something, if you say that this is what we are going to do, your word must be able to be your bond. It means you have to walk the talk. Not a bad brand when it's customers who are providing the feedback. You know, when you've got people who are using the product providing the feedback, it's not wrong. Rather, the internal PR or marketing people being aspirational. So in other words, you know, you don't always have to get feedback from the customers, you know, telling you that the product is good or the service is good or it's bad or you can improve upon it. You know, that is one aspect of it. That is one aspect. you know, for your customers or the people using the product, you know, providing you feedback. But when it comes to the internal, you know, public relations or the marketing people being aspirational, it takes it to a different level. So you need to be able to have people who can predict, you know, what, you know, people want. You know, as the founder of Apple said, you know, he said that people don't know what they want. And these were the words, you know, of the Apple founder. He said, people don't know what they want. So he was able to design products for people, and because he was aspirational, he was visionary. You know, he was able to design things for people because he said, this is what they want. So sometimes people don't know what they want. So you need to be able to design certain things, you know, not just on the surface, but, you know, it's very functional, not just good looking as well. And number five, expect to make return on your investment in leadership development. You don't just send people on the leadership programs. They go spend time, you know, mingle with people or form relationships with others, which is good. And then about few weeks or a few months down the line, you know, what they learned, you know, cannot be implemented in the organization. There has to be value for money. There has to be return on investment. So focusing development around the delivery of your business plan means you are likely to already have a management information systems in place calculating the positive impact, you know, of the program, which is fine. But expecting to make a return on investment is key for a couple of reasons. You know, making investment and expecting return is key for many reasons. And obviously for the first reason, that is like any other business decision, if you cannot see a payback within a reasonable time scale, then why would you run the program in the first place? So if you don't have, you know, people, you know, giving back, or let's say seeing return on investment in some of these things, the question you need to ask yourself is that why do you even send, you know, people on development program in the first place? You know, so what we need to do as a people, or we need to do as an organization, is to make sure that, like any other business, if you cannot see a payback within a reasonable time scale, then why would you run the program in the first place? So it has to wash its face. The second is a little more subtle. You talk about it is a leadership program, and leaders are paid a lot of money to make a difference and produce results. That is how it works. Leaders are meant to work to produce results. So when they are paid, we expect results. And that is why when CEOs of multinational organizations make certain decisions and it doesn't go well, you see them be forced to resign. Why? Because the company has lost. And when they take the gamble and it works for the organization, they go home with fatty bonuses. Why? Because it was their decision to ensure that the company goes this direction or take these strategic priorities into place and make sure that there's a huge return on investment. So any investment that is made, especially in development of the people, especially in development of the leaders of the organization, you need to make sure that there's a reasonable return on investment, you know, anytime you embark on such particular, you know, strategies. So if your leader or if your leadership program is correctly co-designed, it should magnify the impact in a tangible way and add to the bottom line. So in other words, there has to be a return on investment for any investment you make in the people or the leaders of your organization. If you send them on a leadership program, if you send them on anything that you feel that they need that to help them or equipped, you know, to be able to deliver those specific skills, you know, for those specific areas of your organization, then you have to make sure that there's a tangible way that it is added to the bottom now. There's an impact. You know, it creates, you know, a ripple of impact, you know, on the company or as an organization. And lastly, the last thing that I would like to talk about is that you work on your emotional competence. I had numerous encounters with a lot of people when it comes to emotions, and especially as leaders. And one thing that I've realized is that people don't know that the control of your emotions is part of leadership. It is something that is very crucial, and we take it for granted sometimes. We've seen a lot of CEOs of organizations and a lot of leaders, but chairmen of big companies or small companies, doesn't matter, where they've let down their guard by, you know, being emotional about certain things, and as a result of that, making some unforgivable mistakes where, you know, they have to go. You know, all because they dropped the ball, you know, when it comes to their emotions. You know, a lot of leaders, you know, have let down organizations because they couldn't control their emotions, because they couldn't just take it. You know, so it is very important, you know, as a leader or as someone in a leadership role to control your emotions. I always tell people that there's a difference between emotional intelligence and emotional competence. You can be a very intelligent person but emotionally incompetent. In other words, you know, you are very smart, but because you are unable to control your emotions, you let down people all the time. So this is something that, you know, I tell people, you know, for you to be very effective, for you to be very efficient in what you do, you know, as a leader, you need to find a way to let your emotions, you know, be controlled. Emotional competence is a skill, you know, and it's different from intelligence. You cannot learn intelligence. If someone is intelligent, they are intelligent. You know, that is a natural thing. But when it comes to competence, it can be taught and it can be learned. So you need to be able to learn certain things as a leader when it comes to emotions. And that's what I call emotional competence. So work on your emotional competence as a leader. You know, that would help, you know, people. So when you get people to work on their emotional competence, they are able to be effective and efficient in whichever role, you know, you put them in. So there, as you might expect, some elements of leadership development that tend to be required, whatever your specific business plan is. Of course, these, the most important from most experiences, as I said, is to work on your emotional competence. It is a trend that certainly runs through the development or the program, leadership program co-designs. So emotional competence is very crucial when it comes to leadership development. Everybody has a feeling. We all have feelings. You know, no human being does not have a feeling. We all, it is part of creation. It is part of us as human beings. It doesn't matter who you are, whether white, black, you know, brown, it doesn't matter. You know, we all have feelings. You know, and that is part of human nature, that everybody has feelings, but not everybody is familiar with how to manage those feelings. And especially if you are a leader, you need to be able to manage those feelings, because it is very important. That can be the management of those feelings can determine whether you are successful or not. A lot of leaders have, you know, been disappointed, or they've let, you know, a lot of people down, you know, all because, or their reputation have gone down the drain because they were not able to control themselves. They were not able to control their emotions. They were not able to let certain things go. And when you do that, that is your decision. And the consequences of you not being able to control your emotions can be very huge and catastrophic, and especially as a leader. You know, so we need to be able to what? To control and manage your feelings when it comes to leadership. It is about how one you recognize, how you understand, how you express, how you regulate, and how you are able to control your emotions. So how you recognize what is coming, your understanding, the expression, the regulation of your own emotions, and the response to the emotions and the interactions with others. So that is what this is all about. So you need to be able to pick it up fast, understand it, you know, express it and regulate it. Because as I said, we all have feelings. So in one way or the other, people would step on your toes. People would say something that will make you fire up. And if you are leading a board meeting, or you are, you know, in a particular position where, you know, you're talking about maybe the end of year, you know, sales or whatever of the organization or the performance of the organization, and someone says something and you aren't able to control yourself and you say certain things that end up in the media, that will be your end, you know, depending on the organization anyway. So you need to be able to control your emotions. So emotional competence, working on your emotional competence, is one of the key when it comes to closing leadership gaps. So what does emotional competence mean? Or when we talk about emotional competence, what does that exactly mean? I mean, what does it contain? So there are two things when it comes to emotional competence. We have what we call the intrapersonal. That is within you. So intrapersonal means that yourself, what is inside. So, and what you're able to produce out of it. You know, that is your self-awareness, you know, your self-development, your self-responsibility, reflection and feelings. So it is something that nobody can take it away from you. So you have a control over it. No one else. So you bringing it out, you know, how you bring it out is very important. And that is your intrapersonal skills. And that is some of these things, you know, can be taught and learned. You know, you need to be able to, you know, control certain things, you know, when it comes to yourself, you know. So that is the intrapersonal, you know, things that we talk about. That is your self-awareness, self-development, developing yourself to be a better person, self-responsibility, making sure that, you know, what you are doing is moral, it's on the right direction. You're able to differentiate, you know, what is moral and what is immoral, and what is right and what is wrong. All these things, you know, respecting yourself, all that, it's very important. And reflection on things, as well as your feelings. So how you are able to regulate, express all these things, you know, are intrapersonal. That is, it is within you, and you are letting them out. And the other aspect that sometimes, you know, we may or may not have control over is what I call, that is the other side, interpersonal. That is the relationship with others, you know, how you relate to people, you know, the people within your company or within your organization, you know, other stakeholders, people outside the organization, internal and external stakeholders. All this, how do you interact with them? How do you work with them? What do people say about you, you know, when you're out there, you know, and even within your organization or your company, what do people say about you? How do you relate to people? So those are the interpersonal skills. And it's part of emotional competence. So how effective and efficient are you when it comes to relating with people? You know, how do you see people? How do you respect people? How do you, you know, relate with people around you, you know, when it comes to some of these things? So as a leader, you need to be able to be on top of your interpersonal skills as well as your intrapersonal skills. So these two sides are very important, you know, when it comes to working on your emotional competence. So if you are a leader and you aren't able to have control over some of these things, then it becomes very, very worrying. It becomes something that, it takes the shine, you know, out of the limelight. So you need to be able to have a better control over some of these things, and it helps, you know, for you to be able to get your hands, you know, effectively, you know, on these things when it comes to, you know, being a leader or working on yourself as a leader. So if you always need to feel in control, if you're a leader and you always want to feel in control, you know, your emotions may get in the way of developing your collaboration skills. So it is very important for you to know that collaborating with people, sometimes, as I said, we may drop the ball. You know, it all depends on how you relate to other people. So if you aren't able, you know, to control some of these things, you know, it brings people down, and you are not able to deliver effectively and efficiently, you know, as a leader. So a leader avoids conflict. If a leader avoids conflict, they will struggle to confront poor performance in others. So you need to be able to find a way to deal with some of these challenges, you know, in your organization. You need to be able to find certain approach, you know, to help, you know, resolve or deal with some of these issues, you know, when it comes to addressing the challenges in your organization, addressing the challenges, you know, in your company. So it is very crucial, you know, for you to be on top of your emotional competence. So lastly, what I will say is that you need to work on your emotional competence. Why? Because it is crucial, you know, for unlocking your leadership potential. And if you're already in a leadership position, it is very important that you keep on working on it, because we are all humans. You know, we make mistakes, you know, and people say that sometimes when they drop the ball, or sometimes, you know, they do certain things that is not expected of them as a leader. They say, it's not my fault, you know, it's that of the devil, or it's something that, but I didn't see it coming, or they start blaming other people, you know, or blaming the devil, you know, for dropping the ball. But the thing is, it was your choice. You know, it was your choice to go down that lane. It was your choice not to control your emotions. It was your choice not to be on top of all these things. It was your choice. It was a choice that you made as a leader that brought you down. And we've seen this many times with a lot of great leaders, you know, with their reputations, you know, going down the drain. And sometimes we forget that things we do today, you know, will follow us tomorrow. And tomorrow could be 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. We've seen a lot of, you know, leaders, you know, for instance, in Hollywood, people who are being accused, you know, of abusing other people. And they thought at that time, because no one cared, you know, or no one didn't want to know about it, you know, it was okay. And now it's following them, you know, 20, 40, 50 years down the line, they are paying for the mistakes they did long time ago. So we need to be able to be careful as a leader. Anything that you do today, you know, the consequences are always there. And the consequences could be something good, and it could be something bad. And they don't always expire until you are dead. So if you, as long as you exist, as long as you live, whatever you do today as a leader will follow you. The consequences or the results of whatever decisions you make today or the choice you make today will follow you tomorrow. And emotional competence is something that we need to be able to control ourselves, you know, to be able to help us, you know, to make crucial decisions as leaders and to unlock our leadership potential. And I hope that you've been blessed by this short message, you know, for the Born to Lead today. So that is what we have for you today. So thank you all for joining us. So if you have any questions or if you have any particular comment, feel free, those of you who are listening to us live on Facebook, just feel free to post those comments. So for the next 5 minutes or so, we'll be able to take any contributions, we'll be able to share any comments that are coming through live from my Facebook page. So just feel free to post any comment, or feel free to just come in, and I probably will be able to share one or two things with you as well. So thank you.
yourself, you're just tuning in. You are listening live to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. So we've talked about leadership gap, how to close the leadership gap in your organization today. So, which I'm very sure that you have been blessed. So there are a lot of things that a lot of leaders don't know. And I believe that if we embark on some of these few principles, we'll be able to close the gaps, you know, when it comes to reproducing leaders in our organization. Today's show that is a Born to Live, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. So if you don't hear from us again, that is it for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. It was a pleasure having you as your host, and we believe that you'll be able to join us next week for a special edition of the Born to Live show on Planet FM 104.6 every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. New Zealand time. Thank you and have a blessed week. God bless you. Thank you. org.nz/Born to Lead. Thank you.
We speak your language online at planetaudio.org.nz.
Saturday nights on Planet FM bring you radio with a distinctive South African flavor. From Auckland to Cape Town, Durban to Joburg, music, news, shout-outs and community WhatsApp. South Africa NZ Live. Saturday nights from 8:40 or anytime online, planetaudio.org.nz/South Africa NZ Live.
Music, tunes, and klezmer galore will leave you wanting more. If it's Yiddish kite you like, get up off your exercise bike.